the bump and run, the Bristol move.
That's aggressive, but it's that's good. Good heart racing.
Oh!
He puts him out of the groove there.
Oh, man!
Will he get the bumper? Yes, he does. Here comes Logano. Logano on the inside. A drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
The back end of the 18 kick out.
Yeah, he got into it right there.
Moved him out of the way.
It's almost too early to be racing that hard for the lead, wasn't it?
Never too early to be racing for the lead.
At Bristol.
At Bristol.
Man, this is one of the biggest wins of my career.
It's the bump and run,
baby!
Welcome to the Bump and Run podcast. I'm your host, Michael D. White, joined by my two best friends, Matt the Statman Riley and Eric Daytona Ron. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys had yourselves a Martin Truex Jr. type of weekend. And I heard the morning drive say this. Typically, when Martin Truex Jr. wins a race, he really stinks up the show. And boy, was that stinky. But fellas, before we get into it, make sure you like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and more every Monday night, right around 10 o'clock at night. And then every Tuesday, 6 a.m. on YouTube, you can watch our beautiful faces. Except this week, Matt's face is a little messed up. He's got pink eye, buddy. What a...
Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
How's your guys' weekends? We got to say happy birthday to Daytona Ron.
Happy birthday, brother. We love you.
Appreciate it.
NASCAR gave him a shitty race for a birthday present. His birthday was yesterday. Matt got pink eye. Andy was at a bachelor party over the weekend. Fellas, what's going on with you guys? What a wild introduction.
I think it's fair. I just want to clarify that the pink eye and the bachelor party are not correlated. I don't think. My kid had pink eye last week, and I contracted it. I got it. So here we are.
That flu season, man. Don't rub your eyes. That's how you get the flu and stuff. I stopped. I didn't really stop, but I tried to stop rubbing my eyes because apparently that's how you get sick the most, is just rubbing shit in your eye and everything. And you literally got shit in your eye.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's not...
The joke just rolled right off. I had to say.
Why did you throw in the shots out there?
Eric's wearing a raw dogging t-shirt. The podcast is already off the rails, fellas.
I mean, getting shit in the eye is not like out of the realm of possibility when you attend a bachelor party. So like, so like maybe it came from there, but had a blast.
Speaking of shit, that race on Sunday,
race,
in my opinion, was shit.
Yeah.
We'll have plenty of time to get to that. Congratulations to our buddy Andre Harris. He's getting married in a month, and he had his bachelor party this past weekend. It was a blast. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because Eric, your cousin Shrey, was at the bachelor party, and he made it very clear to me in his drunken stupor that if I don't shout him out this week, that he's going to kill me. So yeah. I do have to say Shrey was the MVP of the weekend, far and above anyone else. He was in. We've all been with Shrey drunk 1 million times in our lives. This was a different level. He survived. I'm proud of him. He did great. He did bad, but he did great. And so, Shrey, here's your shout out, buddy. I hope you're alive to hear us.
You guys survived Ocean City, Maryland, right? That's where you guys went?
That's where we were.
Little senior week action a couple of weeks from now. How about you, Eric? How's your birthday weekend? Do you want anything interesting, anything fun?
I actually spent my birthday weekend digging up flower beds and planting flowers in the yard on Friday and Saturday. So that was enjoyable. Then Saturday went out to the old local bar, got a little schnookered up, and Sunday sat on the couch and was hoping to relax my birthday, get a good race in, and just, you know, enjoy my Sunday. Race didn't really give me much, but... I was watering the flowers that I had just planted, and go outside and realize there is a raccoon that was walking up the side of the house.
No way.
Coming for the flowers?
And it's broad daylight, and that's, you don't see raccoons during the daylight.
Oh, boy.
And this thing was breathing all weird, and like, it was like not responding. Like, it should have ran when it saw me and everything, and it didn't. So we did what we do in Harding, and got rid of a little rabid raccoon on my birthday to end my birthday. And, you know, I wouldn't have wanted any other way.
Yeah, you know what? That would only make the podcast even crazier. Matt's got pink eye. Eric's got rabies. Whitey's got shingles, you know.
We need this break. We need this off weekend, boys.
We need to recover. We need to recover as a group.
We're like,
you know what we need to do? We all need to get it together.
We're like Noah Gragson after Gateway last week, smacking that wall. Just looking forward to that off weekend, which we do have coming up. But first, we have to talk about NASCAR news.
The Bump and Run NASCAR news.
Just a couple stories I saw along the way, really not much, but according to Adam Stern, Sportsman's Business Journal, NASCAR is in discussions with entities in Montreal about possibly bringing the racing series back to the circuit. Gilles Villeneuve, I don't know if I said that correctly. Man, NASCAR really throwing me off with the French lately in the last two seasons. And it could
don't
be
look
as soon
at me.
As next
I failed
year.
French.
I never took French. I took Spanish, and
I failed that too.
Honestly, dude, I didn't have, side tangent. I had the worst Spanish teacher, Senora Dwyer, for 2 years in a row. I didn't learn shit. So the second year I had her, our friend Mike Gallagher's wife, Stacy Gallagher, she sat behind me. She's a year younger than me. I cheated off her for the second half of the second year of Spanish. It's the only reason why I passed. I don't know a lick of Spanish, but thank you, Stacy. I got a B the last 2 years of high school.
Which is higher than this race grade is going to get.
Oh, boy. Yes, it is. But what do you guys think about going across the border up to Canada, possibly Montreal, possibly another road course, and possibly a Cup Series date? In Canada.
I'm assuming. So, first of all, I'm cool with it. I don't know how that course races or anything like that. I'm very unfamiliar with the layout and all that. But I'm assuming if you read all the tea leaves with what's going on in Chicago, I would assume that we're probably going to be one and done there this year, and then that race is probably going to go to Montreal.
Yeah,
so because usually where there's smoke, there's fire. When you hear that NASCAR is looking into a place, it usually ends up happening.
Yeah.
So, I would assume that Chicago will be one and done, and then we're going to go to Montreal.
So we really haven't talked about the Chicago street race in a while. But for anyone that's not been paying attention, there's been a mayor change in Chicago, and it seems the new mayor isn't too fond of the idea of NASCAR racing in Chicago, anyways. And then there's been tons and tons of uproar between like various city councils, all sorts of stuff. Basically, it seems like NASCAR is not really wanted in Chicago by the people of Chicago and a lot of the politicians in Chicago. So like Matt said, if you read between the tea leaves, it could be a one and done. But I also, and I didn't include it in my news because I wasn't sure how serious NASCAR is about staying in Chicago, but Chicago Street Course just signed a multi-year deal with the Special Olympics of Illinois. So to be like a partial sponsor or whatever. So, I mean, they're still putting in the work, hoping to keep it going for the multiple years that they had originally planned on. So just a little.
Apparently, because I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast either, but I know Rodney Childers like a week or two ago, I guess they did testing or simulator work or something for it. And he said he posted a picture of Austin Powers where he was in the hallway backing up and going
back and forth. Yeah.
And I guess he was insinuating that it's very tight, that the course itself is very tight. So yeah, I hope it's entertaining, but we could be looking at a disaster in a couple of weeks.
Well, just like Sonoma. Sonoma's a very tight racetrack. It's hard to pass there. And, you know, that seems to be the writing on the wall for this as well. If you have another, you know, tight racetrack and a road course where not many passing zones, that's kind of what Sonoma gave us on Sunday. And, you know, it wasn't a good race at all.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm really keeping my expectations very, very low for the whole entire street course deal. So we'll find out. What is it? July 4th weekend it goes down. We'll be talking about it in a couple of weeks all over again. Big piece of news for Daytona Ron personally. The Jacksonville Jaguars are in talk with Daytona International Motor Speedway to use their track as a temporary home field as they do renovations over the next few years. Eric, what do you think about the Jaguars playing some football at the nickname?
Daytona International Speedway.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I mean, anytime
the World Center of Racing, there it is. I can't remember the tagline. Anytime,
you know, a team plays somewhere unique and different like that, it's always a fun little thing when you're a fan of that team. And you know, obviously I'm a huge fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars and NASCAR, so you know, both of those sports worlds meet in one. It would be cool. And I read today on Twitter that they are still in talks. Like, it sounds like it's at the top of the list of the options for when they do have those renovations being done to their stadium.
How far away is Jacksonville from Daytona? Is it like an hour or is it less
like
than
an
that?
Hour? Yeah.
Yeah. We've made that drive before. Yeah. About an hour.
So I think it would just be interesting to see a football game go down at a racetrack and stuff with the pits in the background and stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool. And then the last piece, Garage 56, finish Le Mans. Le Mans. They finished the race like 20 some laps down or whatever, but they did make the 24 hours. So big, big congratulations to Hendrick Motorsports and NASCAR in general. I know they're really proud about that whole entire project. Did you guys really follow it over the weekend at all or no?
I was seeing a lot of clips, via like Twitter.
Yeah.
Just of some of the pictures that they looked photoshopped of like the cars on like the grid and them like the NASCAR Garage 56 car looked massive and angry and like just an awesome piece of machinery, and boy did it sound it when it was like there were a lot of memes in the last couple days going around about that car with how loud it was and you know and how intimidating. Dude, it chased down I think it was like a Ferrari or something at one point, and I don't know if it stood, but at one time it did run the fastest lap.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Did it?
That's really impressive. I wonder if it did stand. My favorite, and I want to see if I can play the clip for you guys. I sent it to you in the DMs on Twitter, but some people were talking about the overnight portion and how some fans in the stands were starting to fall asleep. And the only reason they would wake up to the sound of the stock car driving by, and it would startle them awake. I want to see if I can find it again, because just the sound was amazing. Here it is right here. Let's see. Like, how great is that?
It's funnier when you're not even watching the video and you're just listening to it, like
waiting for it to come.
You see if you can spot the stock car.
Yeah, spot
it. In the video, there's a car right next to the stock car. Can't even hear it at all.
Yeah. So, big congratulations to them. That's all I have for the NASCAR news, and I guess we have a race weekend to talk about. Really not much happening on track either. Xfinity race. Eric Almirola walked away with the win. What do you guys think about old Double A winning in a Stuart Haas prepared car? Terrible paint scheme, in my opinion. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
With that big white box behind the number? I hated that.
I saw the last three laps of that race on my phone. Didn't have the opportunity to see it. So I don't have much to add to that. But hey, it's good to see AA back in victory lane, no matter what series it is.
It seemed like Larson was running away with that in the beginning. I was at the bar and then we had it on the TV and I was kind of like looking back and forth because Larson was just up front and a lot of the cup guys were up front and I'm like, it didn't change. I kept looking over, like, you know, you're bullshitting at the bar, whatnot. I look over, same top five, look over, same top five. And it was like, okay. And then I don't know what happened at the end that, you know, Larson lost that lead, but, I just caught like little glimpses of it, but good for Eric Almirola. I mean, you know, go out with a win, I guess, in one way or another. It wasn't cup win, but you know, at least he's winning races.
And according to Jayski, he's still undecided on what he's going to do at the end of the season, whether he's going to retire or not.
Honest to God, I'm over it already. Like,
you know, right. Just make shit or get off the pot. Yeah. Right.
No, I agree. Just like hang it up or don't, you know, you're either naked or you're not.
But like he announced last year that he was retiring. Right. Like he had a whole announcement and he's just still racing.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's on the Brett Favre plan or the Tom Brady plan.
Yeah, just keeping it going. The problem is at least Brady was winning games and shit. Anyways, we have a cup race to talk about. Kind of Martin Truex Jr. He led four times for 51 laps. Kind of the highlight of the whole entire thing. 2 hours, 40 minutes, 12 seconds was your race time. We saw two cautions for six laps, 10 lead changes among six different drivers. Your top five: Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Chris Buescher, and Chase Elliott, rounding out the top five. Fellas, let's get into the race grades.
It's our NASCAR weekend race grade.
And let's start with Matt this week. What'd you give it?
Well, first one of the year from me, boys. I gave it an F. Back and forth, F, D, F, D. And I was like, what am I doing? I didn't get anything out of that race. The race had nothing in the way of entertainment for me. If there was passing, Fox didn't show it. If there was a storyline worth talking about, Fox didn't talk about it. And you know what? I'm not actually going to cop out here and just blame Fox. You know, I just don't think this race had anything for me. It's bad when the race actually lulls me into a nap because, like, I pride myself on, like, I'm usually pretty good on not napping during the races. I'm usually attentive, watching what's going on, especially since we started this podcast. I try to, like, give it my full dedication because I know we're going to have to talk about it. But I took a 45-minute nap in the middle of that race, and I was told by you guys when I woke up that I missed nothing at all. Yeah. So that's not an ideal race when you step away for 45 minutes or you take a nap for 45 minutes and you missed absolutely nothing. You know, it was the perfect race to send us into our first off weekend of the year because now we can just hit that reset button on the broadcast partner. We can hit the reset button on the competition on the track. And we're going to head into a super entertaining Nashville in 2 weeks. And I already can't wait for that because Nashville puts on a fun race.
Yeah. How about you, Eric? What'd you think?
I gave it a D. I didn't give it the full blown F because, you know, there were some battles, I guess, once that caution came out and Kyle Busch entered the picture. Up until that point, there was, you know, like Matt said, I think Fox did a good job last week of realizing the battles up front aren't happening. Let's show the battles in the back because that's where the action is. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, Fox learned. Well, this was another race where they should have showed the cars in the back of the pack instead of the front. Just because, you know, at a road course, the front six cars, they figure it out by lap two after a restart. Everyone else in the back, though, they're still trying to figure it out for multiple laps after that. And I think that is where they needed to show a bulk of this race, not the top five spread out just following one another. And I think they did do it a little bit of an injustice. But at the same time, like Matt said as well, you can't blame just Fox. I mean, Martin Truex, the guy who dominated the day, even said it. Hard to pass there. It's narrow. Only certain spots of the track you could get, you know, an advantage to pass somebody. Everyone knew those spots, so you knew when you were going to get passed. And a lot of the drivers played it smart. They let guys go by them. They didn't race them very aggressively. I thought the teams showed up there and they all executed. And when everyone executes, you kind of get a race like we got where everyone's going the same speed. No one's really messing up. The pit crews were doing their job. The drivers were keeping the cars on the racetrack. And, you know, when you have that, it all kind of goes well. It you kind of get what you get there. And I understand people love this type of racing. You know, there's people out there that I saw on Twitter that absolutely love that. You know, Truex went and went green with no stage cautions. And I thought that was fine. I didn't mind them not, you know, throwing that and having, I mean, I guess for pure entertainment, I guess a newer fan, even me at times, was like, okay, wad them back up again and let's kind of maybe get some action on a restart. But the restarts we did get, there wasn't much action on those restarts either. So It's like, would that have made a difference? I don't think so. I couldn't give it the complete whiff on the F, but I did give it the D. Worst race of the year for me by far.
Yeah, I couldn't give it an F, and I was on the fence about giving it a D, but I gave it a C minus. I also just looked up on Jeff Gluck's poll to see what the response was. 57% said no, it wasn't a good race, and 43% said yes, it was. It's out of 19,000 people, so pretty split down the middle.
Truex is a popular win.
Yeah,
I think that in certain times does. For me, that's why I didn't give it the complete F. I enjoyed watching Martin Truex Jr. dominate.
Just dominate.
I'm a fan of Martin Truex Jr. So to see him turn it around and go out there and dominate, it kind of was enjoyable for me. Like it now, if that's a driver I hate, yeah. You know what I mean? Different story. I'd probably give it an F because it would irk me a little bit more.
That's the reason why I kept going back and forth between a D and an F, because you guys know I'm I don't know if I can even say closet anymore, but I'm a closet MTJ fan. So love seeing him win. And we've said this in the past, it's not about if a car dominates or not, because we've given races great grades that when drivers have dominated, it's not that. It just like, I don't know, like, and maybe it's just me, you know, maybe I was just tired. I don't know, but I just didn't like what I saw yesterday, and it sucks because I've seen some great racing at Sonoma in the past. So I don't know. It's a combination of maybe the car, the track, the layout that they used. I don't know. Wasn't for me.
I did hear a lot of teams, they swung for the fences completely different from what they did last year. And maybe that helped certain teams and hurt others. Because there were, man, what I just still think, what would that race have been if that first caution never happens? I think it's a guaranteed F at that point.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed.
That changed it.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that the caution came out, because I would have liked to seen what the strategy of the rest of the race would be. Like, that threw off the strategy completely of the race, and I feel like that kind of hurt it a little bit. I know you guys said, like, at least then, like, you know, Kyle Busch got into the mix and everything. But I would have liked to seen how other guys would have either, you know, pitted out of phase, stuff like that. And we really didn't see much of that, because that caution came out in the middle of all of that. And then a lot of guys came in and pitted anyways. So, like, I don't know. I gave it a C minus. I also consumed it a little differently, where I listened to pretty much the first stage, or at least about the first half hour of the race or so. I saw the caution happen on television, but I was listening to PRN in the car on the way. And I was really excited in the beginning, because they were talking about Martin Truex Jr., you know, battling with Christopher Bell in the beginning, battling for position, working his way up to get to the lead. And then he just kind of dominated. And that's why I gave it a C minus, because, like, the best car kind of went out, passed a bunch of guys, got up front, and then ran away with it. And at least, you know, Once that tire caution and everything kind of flipped everything over, Denny got stuck in the back, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Was it very entertaining or exciting? Not really. There wasn't much passing, which we do see at, you know, some road courses, but I didn't really see anything interesting with the pit strategy or anything. I think it's because of that tire caution, where it kind of, I was listening to the radio where guys were talking about a four stop strategy, three stop strategy and two stop strategy. And I feel like that caution early on really fucked everything up for us. Cause when did it come out? Right before the end of the second stage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or was so, that, or no, so but some, that was the Denny, so
some people said it, they
that was the Denny
out.
Hamlin. Yeah. That was the Denny Hamlin caution that was the near the end.
That was
the
a wild
stage.
For Denny to do that. That was wild.
Yeah.
Misjudged the corner and hit the wall.
I almost gave him my records on that one. So let's jump into the checkers.
I gave
records.
Him my records for that. Hands yeah. down. That was probably one of the, I couldn't believe
rookie move by a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when they went, it was insane. Like, oh, where's the replay? He definitely had to get hit by somebody. Like
nope.
And it's just like, nope. He just ran into the wall.
That's something at that exact turn that I've done in NASCAR heat.
Oh, yeah.
I've hit the wall right there in NASCAR heat before.
We saw Noah Gregson do it at Martinsville, but let me play the song.
20 wide for the lead. One lap to go.
It's this week's checkers and records.
All right, Eric, you already started giving us your records, but how about your checkers? What are your checkers for the weekend?
So my checkers goes to all of Toyota.
Okay.
They seemed to have, from everything yesterday, what I got out of this was they turned it around from last year. They
not one guy.
What?
They are 2-for-2 on road courses this year, when last year they were absolutely terrible on the road courses. And a little bit was due to the nose and some of that aero. But I mean, in general, they were rode off by me, especially in fantasy. I wanted to stay away from them. And I think they really showed up. Hendrick dominated early. I think you're seeing Toyotas coming around and stepping up, and they just impressed me as a whole. Last year at Sonoma, 18th was the best finisher with Kurt Busch. And, you know, Denny Hamlin obviously drove into the wall, but he dominated the whole first stage. He had a fast race car, got put in the back, but, you know, Christopher Bell finished with a top 10. Like I said, they won, you know, two road courses this year. And it just seems like they figured out whatever they missed on last year, they figured it out.
Well, didn't they make some aero changes in the offseason to the nose? They're still like at a disadvantage.
The louvers. But Martin Truex Jr. mentioned it in his press conference afterwards, how like he thinks that really helped them out. They changed the louvers and I think like the front end of it.
I still don't get the turnaround joke. What was the turnaround joke? I don't know. You said one guy turn around and Matt goes, not one guy. I want to know. I'm so confused. I don't understand what the sillies were about.
Oh, you'll see in my records.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, what's your checkers and records, Matt?
Well, Whitey, by the sounds of it, it sounds like you know who my records is. Now, let me say on the front end. I don't know. Let me say on the front end that, like, because, like I said in my race grade, I didn't pull a lot out of this race.
Yeah.
So I struggled with both my checkers and my wreckers. My checkers, super quick. Michael McDowell, I just thought he had a real good race.
Yeah.
He was up front, had a good finish, had a great average running position. He was just always up there. So just super easy, low-hanging fruit, Michael McDowell. I like to see him do good. So sometimes. I know Eric. I know. Before you blow a gasket. And then my wreckers, again, I had to pick something or someone. So I went with Tyler Reddick only because, as Eric said, Toyota has been really good on road courses. Now, I know you're probably looking at where he finished. You're probably looking at these things. I have stats, Whitey. I have stats. I have stats. I get it. Like, yeah, he finished, 33rd? I know he had the incident where he had to turn around and then go down pit road back. Not backwards, but he cut the track. But you can either look at it like he cut the track by 90% or he took 10% of the previous lap away from himself. Either way you look at it, like he did something illegal, but I expected more out of him. That's why I wrecked him. Here's another reason why I wrecked him is because he's our so-called road course king, Tyler Reddick.
Yeah.
He's better than Chase Elliott on the road course. So, here we are. and also because I put money on them. And that's it's very selfish of me. But listen, I told you I had numbers to back up why I wrecked him. So I do. His average running position was 14th, which is not what anybody expected him to run.
No.
Which actually isn't a bad number considering he finished 33rd. he only had 11 quality passes, which was tied for 17th best. So middle of the pack there. He didn't lead a lap. And he had a driver rating of 69.9, nice, which was 18th best yesterday. So, again, just for me, super disappointing. I just expected more out of Tyler, especially the way Toyota's been running on the road courses.
Yeah, no, I expected way more from him, too. He was running in the top five for a lot of that first stage and stuff. It was that tire, man. That tire fucked everything up, got him stuck in the middle. Then they tried staying out with, like, was 11 lap tires, him and Chase Elliott. Chase was able to hold on and get a respectable finish out of it. But man, Reddick fell like a fucking rock. And then he cut that tire and he had to cut the course too. So, like, just a shitty day.
How about, can we just talk about just to for the last of the year purposes?
Yeah.
How bad that commentary was when Reddick did that with Boyer and even Jamie Mack, who had a great day in the booth, in my mind,
yeah,
who we all love in the booth. They just like didn't know how to talk about it. And they were like, I think that's a penalty. I'm not sure. Like, no, I'm pretty sure it's a penalty. And it was just like,
well, yeah, because no one's ever done that before.
Yeah.
Like,
we saw it. We saw it at Pocono last year.
Well, Eric Almirola, didn't he back up down pit road or something like that?
I think like two people did it at Pocono last year.
But I'm talking about a road course where like you're cutting, like that's not just like, oh, I'm going here. Like you're cutting, true, like, you're cutting like it's
90% of the road, the course. Yeah.
Hey man, he's got to get to pit road. Do you think he's making it all around a 4 mile road course? No way.
Well, right, throw the caution. That could have changed the whole fucking race. But right, no, he had to go, I'm going to squeeze in here.
Well,
I'm going to do what I want.
It worked.
Yeah, that was Toyota. That was Toyota calling, hey, my truck's in the lead. Tyler, you really going to
get the fuck off the track.
Get down the road now.
Yeah. Scram. Anyways, he did get a penalty for that. They made him do a pass through, but like,
yeah,
at the same time, like, he still had a pit under green. I feel like that was a penalty enough. But anyways, speaking of Jamie Mack, he gets my checkers for the week. I think he does a great job in the booth anytime he's given the opportunity. And I just think you really add it to that race. It was a snoozer, but at least Jamie Mack tried to make it kind of exciting. I wish Fox would put him in the booth full time. 2024, I'm calling for Harvick, Mack, and Joy. I think that would be a great lineup. That would bring excitement.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Or Harvick, Mack, and Alexander.
Yeah. Bring him up from the Xfinity series.
Fresh booth. They're not going to, but.
No. If anything, they'll hire some brand new guy off the street that no one's heard of or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Just because that would be so Fox. That's so Fox. We haven't done that this season either. My wreckers, I'm giving it to the track layout itself. Last year, we got rid of the carousel in favor of the chute, which is supposed to be a very fast section of the track. But in doing so, I feel like we eliminated a passing zone in the carousel. And I think both this year and last year's race suffered because of it. And if you look at the track map, the map itself just looks boring with that long straightaway in the back and then like a quick right hander or whatever. Like, I don't know. I didn't like the layout of the track. And I feel like that's some of the reason why it was so bad to begin with, where we really only saw one passing zone in turn seven, I think. Right. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. What'd you guys, what'd you guys think about the layout the last 2 years? Do you think it's can be improved by changing it?
It's hard to say because this is a new car and they keep changing the car. And it's like, I think it's more the car than it is the layout. Either way, I think this car is just not producing what it should be producing. The layout, I don't think it has as much of a difference as I think you might think it would. But this car is just not, it's just not it right now, you know?
I don't think it's the layout either. Like, Whitey, I see what you're saying, because yes, that carousel does add speed and braking zones, which mean passing. So I see where you're coming from. So you're not like, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but like my whole life up until what, 2 years ago,
they ran
the layout that they ran yesterday. And I always enjoyed Sonoma as a road course. Always. I mean, we've seen some great battles at that racetrack, and it's just, this car has not been friendly to road course racing, no matter what layout it has been. So I don't necessarily know if it's the layout, but maybe the other layout could have helped. Yeah. With, like you said, with the braking zones and increased passing zones. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, because like we've said before, it's always the dog chasing the tail, right? It's always, we're either going to change the track or we're going to change the car, but we're not going to change one and then let the other one go for a while and just let everything catch up to it. There's always changes going, so we can never catch up to where we need to be.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure because, like we said in the past, I'm a newer fan where I only knew the carousel. I never knew the chute before it. So, like, I'm familiar with the carousel. Now going into the chute, I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's the track. That was just where that thought came from. But honestly, like, I've never been a huge fan of Sonoma in itself. I feel like that was always the weakest of the road courses that we go to. So, I don't know. Maybe it's...
I thought... With how rigid this car's body is, I thought we would have seen a little bit more aggressiveness out of the drivers, like putting a bumper to some guys. And you saw it late, but I thought, like, Jamie Mack hinted at it a couple times. I mean, Corey LaJoie absolutely smashed those barrels.
Yeah.
And someone else hit them too. I forget who else hit them, but there was hardly any damage done to the car after smacking that. And like, if that was the old car, your day is almost done if you do that. You know what I mean? You're coming in, you're making repairs, you're losing a lap. Like, and with how tough the cars are and with how tight that this racetrack is, knowing that the passing is hard, I was waiting for a Ross Chastain, you know, to get a little aggressive and you know, get into the side of somebody or move somebody, because you know that you're not gonna really mess your car up or their car. And I think that race lacked a little bit of aggressiveness, or like I said, I think all the teams might have just been clicking and everyone's running the same speed and you can't get to the bumper of the guy in front of you, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You were talking about that this morning in our group chat. Like, Michael McDowell was another one that he's always kind of a little bit of a bull in a china shop, where he'll push guys out of the way on a road course, I think because he knows those are his better opportunities. And right. That's how he got his position. Like, he was just pushing through guys. I think everyone else, like, I don't want to say they were like timid or whatever, but maybe the lack of stage cautions and whatnot, you didn't have them bunched back up to create those opportunities. But even on the two restarts we saw, we really didn't see a lot of like beating and banging like we've seen at the Indy Road course and like Watkins Glen last year, where guys were like holding back and then smashing into each other in turn one and just going in as a big pile of mess. So I don't know. I feel like we complained about that too. So maybe there's no winning at this point. But that's all I
would rather see what I saw yesterday than see a wreck fest in turn one, though.
Turn one,
I'll admit that any day of the week, I think. I mean, I think all we really wanted was a little bit more passing and a little bit more just battles, racing back and forth. And, you know, there wasn't many laps where you're like, oh, they're swapping it back and forth and back and forth. You know what I mean? I wanted to see a little bit more of that. But, you know, MTJ, he like you said, Whitey, you actually nailed it with that. Dominate. And when he dominates, he stinks it up, man.
He really does. Like, think about all the races that MTJ wins. Most of them, he just stinks up the show.
I never thought about that before you said it earlier today, earlier in the show. I was like, yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah,
with that Richmond leads like every lap, but like four, you know,
Coke 600. He's dominated.
Darlington on Mother's Day, like all sorts of shit. Like, yeah, that's just what he does. MTJ doing what he does. But other than that, Kyle Busch led once for 17 laps. Denny led twice for 33. Unfortunately, he got himself into the wall. And then Chase led twice for 7 laps, thanks to some pit strategy. And those are really the only three guys to talk about besides the leaders during, you know, green flag cycles and stuff. You want to jump into the last place driver? We are motoring along in this podcast this week. But it was Denny Hamlin. He hit the inside pit wall, lap 92. That's all there was to it.
I can't believe that. Then it ruined my fantasy day.
It ruined my fantasy day,
completely ruined my fantasy day. Him and Suarez, Suarez missing that shift and completely, like, what, he dropped, like, 18 spots or something off of that missed shift.
Dude, that screwed me. Right off the bat, that screwed me.
Dude, that tire ruined my fantasy day, and then Denny wrecking out really ruined my fantasy day. Like, it was just
that
miserable.
Was one of, like, one of the worst fantasy days that I've ever had, but like for our whole league in general, like the total number was low compared to what it usually is.
No, it really was. Like, I think the top winner was like 205.
Something crazy.
It's always
like that.
Good when that happens and you have a bad day. At least the damage isn't as bad.
No, that's true. I have two pick-a-lanes. I figured let's pad the show a little bit with some pick-a-lanes. I don't know. How interesting you'll find these. I was listening to Dave Moody on the way home from work, and I thought about these from a caller.
God bless you.
nothing against Dave, but those callers are rough. They're calling to his show.
No. Nothing against it's the callers. I can't. Yeah. I just can't. Hats off to him for
dealing with those people all the time.
I know he gets a little snippy every once in a while, but
you would too.
I understand now why.
Yeah.
Let's see. In the Xfinity race, the first four drivers in the top five were all Cup regulars. The first Xfinity driver to finish was Kligerman in fifth. Over the years, we've gone from a free-for-all of Cup guys running Xfinity races to being limited to five starts this season. Do you think we should make a change either way? No limit, or ban Cup drivers altogether? What do you guys think?
I'll go first with this one. I say no limit. I say let the boys race, let them race.
Okay.
If I was driving a truck series and I'm 18 years old and it's my first season and I have an opportunity to race against Kyle Busch and be it at the same racetrack going up and down pit road with Kyle Busch, maybe pick his brain a little bit, race against him. Then you go to Xfinity where there's a little bit more Cup guys going in there. I think it's more of a benefit for these drivers to learn how a Cup driver drives, to get better, how to race around them. It's a learning experience. We see the truck series, what it is right now.
Yeah.
I think if you had some veterans from the Cup still running that trucks, I don't think we're seeing the type of racing that we see in the truck series. They need some veteran presence down in those lower series, I feel like, to kind of get some of the sportsmen and sportsmanship back and the respect of these race car drivers and the teams that put their heart and soul into this every week. I think that would benefit it more than it would hurt it. I know people say, oh, it's taking a win away. Yeah, but I think, you know, hey, go out. You want to be in the Cup Series? Well, you got to beat them. And if you can't beat them, then, you know, quit crying. Go up there and whoop them. Try to get to them. And I just think it's more of a benefit. So I'd say no limit. And just to add something else at the end, I think it would help the Cup Series. Where's lack of practice, more seat time. I think people that switch over rides with a new crew chief, maybe it gives them more of an opportunity to keep their skills up too. And I think it might help the Cup Series in that route too, just more seat time for those guys.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it too. Get that little extra practice on a Saturday. Matt, what do you think?
I used to be complete 180 from everything that Eric just said. I don't know if I just had a closed mind about it, but like, especially back when, like, you know, the heyday of Bush coming down and just dominating everything, it was just like, I'm not even going to watch this race because I know what's going to happen. And again, I don't think I looked at it with such an open mind, but Eric just stole everything I wanted to say. I mean, nailed everything there. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. Like, I've done a complete 360 of my thought process of that because you get these guys. I mean, we joke about the truck series all the time. We love the truck series, but we joke about it all the time how it's just a wreck fest and there's no respect down there. But think about if Christian Eckes, I'm just using a random name, is driving and oh my God, Kevin Harvick is to my inside. I'm going to mind my P's and Q's because I don't want to be the guy who wrecks a Hall of Famer. You know, I don't want to be that guy. Or I'm going to follow Kevin Harvick. I'm going to see what lines he's taking. I'm going to watch exactly how he's racing the other guys. Oh, maybe that's how I need to race. And so, yeah, I would love to see guys come down and do more one-offs in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. I think it would actually, you know, and then it's also fun, right? Like we had the bounty with Kyle Busch a couple years ago. And I know Chase Elliott came down and another cup guy ended up coming down and beating him, but still, like, have bounties, run bounties for, hey, we're having Kyle Larson come down to the Truck Series. Who can beat him this week and do stuff like that and make like promotions out of it and actually like spin it into a positive and oh my God, I've got to watch tonight because I got to see if somebody's going to beat Larson this week or what, or Bush or whoever it might be.
Yeah. So when I thought about this, I was just looking at the sheer numbers. I'm like, man, four drivers in the top five are all cup guys. Maybe we shouldn't allow this. You know, it started like rolling through my head. Just because, like, normally we don't see four cup guys finish 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, like, you know, one lone Xfinity guy. So in my mind, I'm like, man, the Xfinity Series where names are supposed to be made, well, they didn't even get the opportunity on Saturday to make a name for themselves in Sonoma, especially since I think this is the first time that the Xfinity Series is going there. But then the more I thought about it, the more you guys talked about it, I feel like we have a pretty good way about it right now, which is the 5-race limit. You see guys get peppered in throughout the season and all the benefits that you guys talked about of just, you know, younger drivers learning. So I kind of like it with the limit of five races per driver. And I especially like that they can't race in playoff races. But that, yeah, I just thought that would be an interesting one. And then really quick, with the lack of excitement on road courses and short tracks in the last two seasons, do you think we should eliminate any of the either? And if so, do you have one in mind? I personally think that we have like maybe one or too many road courses at this point. What do you guys think?
I think hindsight's 20/20. I personally would be a hypocrite if I said we had too many, because I was the guy pounding my chest on this podcast saying like we have the perfect amount of road courses. I still maintain that feeling. I still think we have the perfect amount of road courses. I like the diversity of the schedule. I will always like the diversity of a schedule to keep it fresh. I just think we need to figure out a way to get the racing better. Like I said, it doesn't matter if they're racing to me. It doesn't matter to me if they're racing on an oval, a road course, if they're racing in space on a street course, if they're racing on loop-de-loops. If the competition's good and the racing's good, I don't care necessarily what the layout of the track is. I just want to see good racing. So I'm good with the number of road courses. And again, we were all banging the drum. All three of us are banging the drum of more short tracks. I think we've chanted that before, more short tracks. And so we can't go back on our word just because we don't like what we're seeing on the short tracks. It's in my mind, it's not the short track's fault. It's going back to this car. Like, they need to figure it out. And there's ways that they can figure it out that several people within the industry have given them options on how to figure it out. But again, money always talks, and we're not changing these things on these cars that can make the road coursing and street course racing and short track racing better.
All right. How about you, Eric? What do you think?
Oh yeah. I mean, I tend to agree. I didn't hate the amount of road courses we had. I agree with Matt. I think the car, let me start over here. We had a schedule that used to be the same exact thing year in and year out for how many years, right? So these teams, these engineers, they knew how to set up these cars and what these cars needed for those racetracks. They raced those racetracks.
Yeah.
And they, car didn't really change much. They're going to the same racetracks. They understood that and they could able to work. It was a balance. Now, since the schedule was so cut and dry back then, NASCAR wants to diversify the schedule. And now we're changing the car.
Yeah.
So we're doing both at the same time. And I think that is not allowing these teams, hey, where are we racing? What are we doing? Let's stick to this, and this. These 4 or 5 road courses, we're not going anywhere else. We're not trying anything new. We need these five staple road courses to figure the car out.
Yeah.
Let's keep the schedule kind of the same to figure the car out. I think going to all these different places is not the greatest thing right now. I know schedule diversity is really high for them, but I really think it might actually be hurting the sport in the long run.
Yeah, I would like to see two road courses leave and bring back like a Kentucky or Chicagoland, because right now this car is really performing well on those mile and a halfs. I want to see more mile and a half.
But what you just said, key words right there, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you keep it going the way it is, like, I mean, there's the short track and road course package, and then there's the mile and a half package. So the mile and a half package, I feel like is perfect right now.
You know how the saying is, like, in Pennsylvania, if you don't like the weather, wait an hour and it'll change. A lot like NASCAR, if you don't like what you see now, wait a couple months. It's probably going to change because things are always changing.
That's the thing. We're in the middle of the second season and nothing's changing. The mile and a halfs are great and everything else is
going to have to, if the noise gets loud enough, though, like, they're going to have to work on these cars at some point.
No, I know. I wish it would happen a little bit quicker, because like I feel like all the momentum that we had last year is really dying out very quickly.
I think that your target or your sight is on the wrong target. Like you're looking at the tracks themselves, and I don't think it's the track's fault.
But
what we're seeing, I think it's the car.
But how did?
I say that because like you look at a Sonoma, you look at a Richmond, you look at a Martinsville. I've seen amazing racing on all those tracks in the past.
Yeah.
It just seems like since this car was introduced, maybe not Richmond. Richmond's been blah for a long time. But like these other tracks, like Sonoma, like I've seen great racing at Sonoma before. It just so happens to be this new car gets introduced and like it stinks at Sonoma.
Yeah. No, I get it. But it stinks a lot of places. And I don't know. We chased the lack of excitement on mile and a half, so went to road courses and diluted our schedule at road courses to make up for the lack of excitement on mile and a half. So now we have excitement on mile and a half, so we have too many road courses. And I don't know. Maybe we should go back to the way it was.
I heard someone say this on Twitter today. Well, I read, I should say. And it kind of made sense. They made this car. They kind of designed it to be good on the road course, to be able to roast. The racing was better
when the car
shouldn't have been.
No, I agree.
On that road course.
Yes. Sliding around.
It was never designed for that road course. That's when we had good racing, because the cars were not supposed to do that. So to me, I just thought that was a cool little thing that he noticed. Like, maybe they made the car too good for road racing and you needed a little bit of that quirkiness, that heaviness of the stock car to really maneuver it around.
It's like the designers of this car and the engineers of this car outthought themselves. They outsmarted themselves. They thought, how could we make a perfect road course car without thinking about like, oh, if we make a perfect road course car, it's not going to be wild and crazy and fun. It's like Jurassic Park. You never stop to think if just because you could does. I blew that whole thing. Next segment.
Come back with me.
Where?
I was trying to say that, I was like, stop talking.
And we're heading to Nashville, not this weekend, but the following weekend, Friday the 23rd, Trucks on Track, 8 p.m. on FS1 for the Rackley Roofing 200. Saturday the 24th, Xfinity on Track, 3:30 on USA for the Tennessee Lottery 250. Sunday night the 25th, primetime cup racing, going to be a late night, 7 p.m. on NBC for the Ally 400. Last week, Eric, you picked Chris Buescher to win. He got you 37 points. I picked Chase Elliott to win. I got 32 points. And Matt, you picked Tyler Reddick to win. He got you 9 points. So, Matt, you go first for Nashville. I go second, and Eric goes last. Who do you guys have for Nashville?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea. Me too. Kyle Larson.
All right. I like it. I'm rapid fire. I am going with... It's been a while, Joey Logano. Going with the Ford. How about
Kevin Harvick?
Kevin Harvick. All right. We are 16 races into the 2023 season. We have 10 different winners. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, William Byron, Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, and Ryan Blaney. We are heading into an off weekend. We will find out the following weekend if Joey Logano could get his second win of the season, if Kyle Larson could get his third, or will Kevin Harvick get his final, possibly final win of his career and his first win of the 2023 season? We will find out Sunday, June 25th, 7 p.m. on NBC for the Ally 400, and we will break it all down for you right here on the Bump and Run podcast. For Matt the Statman Riley, for Eric Daytona Ron, I'm Michael D. White, saying have a good night.
The Bump and Run!
There it is!